Holy Spirit, we just thank you for being here with us. Lord, I just pray that you would guide and direct Dee as she shares what you have placed in her heart, Lord God, and let her just minister out of the overflow that you've poured into her, Father. Just pray that we would have ears to hear what you would have her say to your bride, and that we would receive and put it into action, Lord Jesus. As Nancy says, activate, Lord. God, just use us. Use Dee, Lord, as your instrument. And we just thank you now for what you're going to do in us and through us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, if you've been to some of these, you know we have commercials. Welcome, guys. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming. You're in for a real treat tonight. Do you get to stick around all night? It's good friends, Chris and Adriana. You're in for a treat, so stick around. But this is the War Cry of Grace, and normally what we do, we come up and we give you these commercials. So I'm going to give you this commercial. The War Cry of Grace to me is for grace, for by grace we have been saved. Through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, right? We all know this scripture. I'm looking at some pretty mature people here, so I'm going to be talking to a mature audience today. I don't need to tell you that John said that grace accumulates, but he did say that in the first chapter of John. Therefore, we have grace upon grace upon grace. And Peter taught us in his final words that it's a necessity to have grace. So it is absolutely essential that you understand grace. It is a necessity in our lives, for of his fullness grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul, of course, which is our theme of the war cry of all these workshops that you see, is in Romans 12:6, therefore having gifts differing according to the grace that you have been given, minister. So according to grace, we're supposed to minister. So here's the revelation. At the cross, when Jesus laid everything down for us, when he took our sins, our sorrows, our sufferings, everything that we were supposed to have upon our backs, everything that we were supposed to have because of the law, everything that we were supposed to have because we weren't perfect, he took for us. He paid it in full. Salvation is not free. He paid it in full. Do you understand? He's already paid the price. We all understand that here. Salvation is a gift, but here's the revelation. We grow in grace. We grow in grace. Now, some of you may have seen me painting this picture while I was up here. Lisa, I'm going to go to Colossians 2:7 for a second. This picture is what we call prophetic art. Sometimes when I start to paint or when the Lord's dealing with me on something, he'll have it come out in a creative way. Sometimes it's poems, sometimes it's paintings, sometimes it's just maybe a song of my heart. But this one is Colossians 2, and this is part. See, we think that grace is on the Calvary in the picture of the cross, but really grace is actually growing within us. So let's look at this, Colossians 2:7. We are rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So this is us, and we are rooted in the word. Now, I portrayed it as the written word, but we all know that God is more than the written word, right? We know that the word is a person. He was before we were created. He is in our lifetime recreating us even as we grow in him. And he will be for future generations and what's to come. So we understand that it's a growth process. So as we're growing in the word, we position ourselves deep in him. And we don't all start out slaying giants. Do you start out slaying giants? Did you find that you were that little daisy that was shooting up through the concrete that Nancy was talking about? Has there been growth process in your life? Can you go back to when you were first saved and know how fresh you were? Know the new beginning that you were in. Know that who you were and all that he is. And see the whole shebang and where he's taken you from even to now. And be thankful. That's what this verse is about. Overflowing in the thankfulness because we are growing in him. We recognize every step and each step in our lives and on our stage is a growing process in him. We recognize what growth means. And if you look up grace and you study it from the Greek point of view, we all understand, because of our great teacher Nancy, that grace means what? Grace means favor. Grace means favor. So when I say the favor, when I say grace, I want you to think of favor. And favor of God in your life means the goodness of God. All the goodness of God that he has to offer. Every blessing, everything that he wants to step you into for the full abundance of what life is, he has for you. And this is what we're growing into. We're changing mindsets of the pattern that he had before you were born, before he even knew who you were, knew your purpose, knew who you were going to be, knew where you were going, knowing that even every trial that you would go through. And guess what? He's right here with us. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. He will always be here. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. He will always be here. He will always love you through it. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. But in reality, we need to grow so he can begin to use us to help other people. So I want to take a look at something very specifically, and I'm going to go back to this painting here in a minute and talk more about it. What would you say this is? It's my driver's license. It's an identification, right? I do not like pictures. I'm not very photogenic, and so I kind of try to stay, when I was younger especially, I stayed away from pictures, and now that I'm a grandma, it really doesn't matter. You know, I'm getting kind of over that. It doesn't matter. But anyway, normally I don't like getting picture taken. But when I went down to the driver's license, I got this picture taken. And it turned out that when I came back home, I threw it on the counter. I don't know for what reason. It should have been tucked in my purse and put away, but whatever. I threw it on the counter. We had people in the house, and there was people coming and going and leaving, and so as they were leaving, somebody picked up this identification card, and they said, "Oh, no, Melissa forgot her identification." Melissa is my daughter. Of course, she's so much younger than me, and she's also more beautiful than me. So I thought, whoa, maybe I'm going to look at that again, you know, see what they're talking about, because she always hears you look like your mom, you know what I'm saying, but who would have thought that this, you know, looked like my daughter? Well, obviously, they had a very mature, wise opinion, but anyway, so I sat on this for a couple of days, thought, maybe I don't look like a grandma, maybe I don't look like I'm in my 50s. Maybe I do look younger. So I kind of basked in that for a couple days. But if you want to know the real truth, how many's got grandchildren in here? If you want to know the real truth, you ask the little ones, right? So one of the days that the kids were coming over, and they came over, and I thought, well, you know, we'll just see what the real truth is. And children always speak their mind, and I gave him this card, and I said, "Rylan, who is four, he calls me Gaga, not grandma, he calls me Gaga, he's 4 years old, and I said, hey, what do you think of this picture? Does this look like your mommy? Do I look like your mommy in this picture?" So Rylan, of course, takes the picture, and he looks at it. And he tilts his head and he looks at it from this angle. Then he turns it upside down and he's looking at it like this, and then he sits it down on the bed and he goes, Gaga, were you old in this picture? So I tickle tortured him for a little bit, of course, and we giggled, and I praised him for his honesty. But you know what? Later in my quiet time, in that same room, in that same place, God said, why don't you ask me what I think about your identification? And so I said, Lord, what's my identification? And this is why I could answer like I answered in your class, because Daddy had to retrain me on my thinking process of who I am in him. She had a wonderful class. If you missed it, I'm sorry. Please get it online. You really need to hear her class. It takes you out of the mentality of the false humility and takes you into telling you who you really are in Christ, okay? Well, she asked me the question in her class, who are you? And I was able to answer. And you know how I answered? The same way he answered me in my bedroom. The same way that he came to me and began to speak to me on that personal level. And I know each and every one of you, if you haven't heard it, you will start hearing it. How many know and hear the voice of God in here? Amen. I am speaking to an immature audience. Thank you, Jesus. So you know what I'm talking about when he begins to speak to you. And he began to speak to me and he says, you're wonderful. You're marvelous. You're beautiful. I have anointed you to preach the good news. You are my lily of the valley. You are my bright and morning star. You are the way maker. You are the one who lays hands on the sick. You are that person. And so when he began to tell that to me, he began over and over and all the things he said, because the way that I look at you is in the finished product that he has already prepared you to become. The way God looks at you is in the same way that that person looked at my ID. They thought it was through the image of the daughter, but God looks at you through the image of the son. So when he sees you in that growth state, he sees you where you are right now, but he also sees that complete, perfected person that you're supposed to be. He knows the purpose you have, and his job is to help you get there. He will be always with you, helping you get there. Now it's our job to position ourselves and begin to grow in him. Okay, now these are workshops. These aren't preaching sessions. So I'm going to call you to participate. So I want you to think how you grow in God. And when we get to the end of the session and the thankfulness that we were just talking about, I want you to remember and to begin to think about things, okay? And then we're going to go into a proclamation time at the very end of the session. And we're going to begin proclaiming things, not just over ourselves, but over things that are to come. Do you understand? Over loved ones, over the area, over America, over your church, over your family, over the people who rip your heart out, over the people that you are supposed to be carrying grace to. So be thinking about that. In the process of the first process that I want to pull you in as a workshop, I want to pull out this one right here. This is a painting that I painted for Nancy. You may not be able to read it from there, but this, when you're so prophetic, you rarely hear prophetic things spoken over you. So she went through a long time of giving and giving and giving, and rarely did somebody speak into her life. Well, during one of these long sessions, she remembered somebody who did speak into her life, and she told me about a vision that she had, that somebody had over her and spoke into her while she was overseas. Everybody knows she travels. So while she was overseas, God used a vessel to speak life into Nancy about things that God has prepared for her. And so he spoke over her, and he saw her and Sarah as two white horses in the midst of the glory cloud, of just paving the way, just running horses like race horses, just carrying the glory cloud with them as they went. And I, you know, she'll have to share more about what it is. It went a lot deeper for her. But she wanted me to paint this of her and Sarah. Well, Sarah in the vision was this great race horse that was she has dark hair. He saw her as the dark racehorse, okay? And then Nancy was the lighter white horse in the vision. So that's what I tried to portray. This is supposed to be the glory cloud. And the verse that says is Deuteronomy 5:24, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice. So they are running racehorses. Now the first session in here, there is a marker that I meant to dig out. If you don't mind helping me find that marker, it's a marker in that. So while I explain this to you, I want you to put your name. This is a workshop. Because we are in this glory cloud with Nancy, you are a part. You are a part in intercession. You are a part in speaking grace in her life. You are a part in encouraging her. And this is going to be given to her. So as we pass this around, I want you to sign down here in somewhere in this clouds. Okay, just sign your name and then pass it on as we go. Like I say, this is a workshop. It is black. And print, sign, it doesn't matter. So anyway, we're going to be passing that around. And another thing that I want to give out today, and I'll speak briefly as we're passing that around, this is a revelation that God gave to me. How many have heard the testimonies of Nancy and just think, man, I want God to use me that way? Or, you know, it encourages you to go deeper into what he has for you. Well, this is a revelation that God doesn't always speak to everybody the same way, okay? So you have got to know that maybe, you know, he's wanting to use you. Here's my statement. Don't try to be Nancy. God has something just as powerful within you. He has purposed you to be just as powerful. But guess what? It may come out in another way. Okay? So why would we try to be anybody else? They're already taken. Right? God is purposed within you who he wants you to be. You are called with an eternal purpose. You are called with a heavenly mindset. You are called to proclaim and herald what he has already prepared for you. You are called to step deeper into knowing what positioning you're supposed to take for people around you as well. So you are an ambassador with eternal purpose. God chose you to live in this hour, in this day, in this time frame. He has a plan that's birthed right out of the atmosphere of heaven. He's created something so magnificent in you that you get to become part of his solution. That's what this is about. It's called Ears to Hear. If you don't have the book, please come get one. They're free. I'm not making you buy them. We're blessed. Norris and I, my husband, have chose to bless you. So if you want to do that, what it's also going to do is also show you different personalities and perspective that other people have around you. Guess what? People don't think the same way you do. They don't perceive the same way you do. How many know as a mother that their children have different personalities than them? Even little, right? You know that? Yeah. Exactly. So you may have to have an understanding that it's deeper than we think. So this book, after class, if you want one, please come get one. I'm not going to pass it out to everybody because I think some of them already have it already. But please, you are welcome to have that. That's my gift to you today. Honey, I need a drink. Okay, got one. Wow, you're fast. That's awesome. It's dry in here today. Father, we just praise your holy and wonderful name. Another thing that the Lord began to speak to me was about his favor. And when he started talking about his favor, he said, I want you to know one thing, and I want you to tell the people that with my favor,
with my goodness, there is also flavor. So I have brought chocolates. Okay. This is dark chocolate. How many have seen the new recent the studies coming out on dark chocolate? Have you seen it? Isn't it exciting? You ready? Isn't it exciting? Because guess what? Chocolate's good for you. Dark chocolate is good for you. The coca bean itself has potassium, magnesium, iron, copper, you know, good stuff. Guess what that helps with? Stress. Did you know that? Stress. It helps with mood swings. Awesome. I'm giving you medication right here. Here's time for your medicine. Oh, thank you. All right, I got a whole nother bag. I knew you were back there, Lisa. I got some just for you, girl. You want to take and pass the rest out, Kelly? And if there's more bags up front. Okay. So, you can eat it now. You can save it. You can give it to somebody. It doesn't matter. It's yours, okay? When I give things away, I don't think twice about it. You just do whatever we want to with it. But God says, with favor, there is flavor. So he wants me to ask you today, what's your flavor? What is your flavor within him? Because as I was discussing in the book, you know, it was a revelation that he gave to me, showing the differences of personality that he's instilled into man, coming from his spirit. And it kind of describes, so what is your flavor? Okay, be thinking about that, because I'm going to ask you, this is a workshop, right? Okay, it's a workshop. What is your flavor? All right, I didn't ask you, but you know what? Is it okay if I share the dream I had? Okay, Adriana. The Lord recently has set me into a position to speak to people. Oh my goodness, was that a stretch for me when he did that? I was happy sitting right back there on that pew or in the corner somewhere where I was not seen, and it was a stretch for me to come up here. But in the process of Nancy stretching me, I went to our church and pastor said, hey, I want you to speak. I want you to come into the church and I want you to speak. And I said, okay, like what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, what do you want? You know, just want something? He goes, no, I want you to take the whole service. And I said, okay. And so he said he's doing a new series, and he was doing a new series on dreams. And he's doing a new series on how different ways that God speaks. And I said, oh, that is so exciting. I love hearing how different ways in the revelation that God gives, because he gave me a revelation. So it's very exciting to hear the other puzzle pieces that everybody else has to fit into place to make the bigger picture. And so he said, come in and speak. And so I went in and I agreed to that. And he says, when do you want to do it? And I said, sooner the better, because I know I'll beat myself up. I'll get in a frenzy, and I will try to, you know how it goes, you know. And I'll just sit and stew. So within 2 weeks, I was preaching, and I was preaching on dreams. In that process of time, a lot of the church came forward at the end of the session, and they wanted the Lord to use them to... He's speaking in dreams. And lo and behold, God used this vessel to just be an instrument, to lay hands on people and just simply say, ears to hear. That's all I was supposed to do, just ears to hear, just ears to hear. And so what happened in our church body was that they all went home, and guess what my phrase is? Sweet dreams. Sweet dreams. What do you think happened? They started having dreams. Even those that said they don't dream. Even those that said they can't remember dreams that they've had. You know, they remember used to dreaming, but they don't dream anymore. Even those began to dream. And I mean, some of the dreams that were coming out in our care groups were awesome. Were awesome. And God dreams, you know, and it was encouraging. And so I would get the phone calls or I'd get the texts, you know, and I would get the thing. And it was fun to be a part of their lives and help speak life into them. And in the process, Adriana and Chris began the reverse. They weren't having the sweet dreams. They were having nightmarish dreams. And so this is kind of personal to them, so that's why I ask if I could share this. So sometimes it's not always sweet dreams, but something we need to work through and grow through, something that we need to go past. Okay, there's this verse in the New Testament, and I wish I could remember the reference, but I can't right now. But it says, when you turn to Jesus, the veil is removed. Okay, when you turn to Jesus, the veil is removed. Well, that's what's happening in the dreams. Their veil is being removed, and the Lord knows that your spirit doesn't sleep. So he's speaking to your subconscious mind. He's speaking to your spirit. He's building up your spirit. But sometimes there's also discernment that comes in. And what's happening is the Lord increased discernment in these two right back here. He increased discernment in their lives because he started having them have nightmares, and they started noticing things in their life. And so they came to Norris and I, and we began to minister to them. And I said, this isn't a bad thing. This is an awesome thing. Do you know you just got an increase? You just got an increase and an upgrade in your gift, because now you're going to see, and through these nightmarish dreams, you're seeing what the enemy's tactics are. When the enemy's tactics are revealed, guess what? He has no power over you any longer, okay? So, you know, they thought, well, let's work through this. And already God's doing things in your life. Already God's doing things. And so in the process of us praying for them, you know, the Lord has given me a mother heart. And I just feel like Chris is already, you know, an adopted son. Chris works for us. At a work of heart, and we own a business in Parkersburg, West Virginia. It's a craft business, and come place that you come to get gifts. And we have an atmosphere of God. Some people say, I haven't felt the peace. And they just come and they walk around just because of the peace that's there. Well, anyway, they help out there. And so I'm ministering to them, and the Lord had us say a few things. And that night when I went to sleep, Norris, to show you his heart, he was interceding all night for Chris and Adriana to step into this new position, this higher discernment level that they've been placed into, and that they would begin to recognize what they're supposed to be doing when they saw the tactics of the enemy. And so he was interceding, and he woke me up a couple times interceding, but then I fell back asleep. And when I fell back asleep, I had this dream. And it was a dream about Adriana. Come here, Adriana. This is a workshop. I warned you. This is a beautiful girl, is it not? She is absolutely gorgeous. I'd say model-like, okay? She is absolutely beautiful. And so she sings like a songbird, too. I mean, you should hear her sing. And so she had this dream, or I had this dream about Adriana. And in the dream, Adriana invited me in to see her house. And I don't know if you know this, but houses symbolize your mind, will, and emotions. It symbolizes your soul in dreams. And so she was inviting me in to see her soul, which is what she did when she opened up herself to come for us to minister into her. So in the dream, she invited me in to see her house. And her house was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, in place, just as beautiful as she is right here. Her inside and her emotions and her mind, her will. You understand? I get to see into. So when I went into her house, it was absolutely gorgeous. And I mean, things in place, it wasn't messed up. And trust me, I see things in my dreams, and I don't always get to see a neat, clean house. Sometimes it's way out of order. Sometimes there's a lot of things going on that I end up having to deal with. But hers was not like that. Hers was beautiful. And she came over and she said, oh, look at this. This brings happy memories to me. This is one of my childhood things. And she's talked about something that she had there. And then she showed me this. And she began to show me her other rooms. And then we went around. And as we went around, I noticed there were some what I would call... What it looked like in my dream was that they were undercover spies. They were coming to look like they were helping her, but they were really on a different agenda, okay? They noticed them. They came and went. You know, they weren't always there to stay, but they came and went. And so, anyway, I'm walking around with Adriana in her dream, and she takes me to her inner sanctuary. In her inner sanctuary, or the inner sanctuary part, the most personal part of you is where you get to see the lamp. You know the word that says the eyes are the gateway to the soul? That's the soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. I got to see into her soul, and I saw her lamp. It was the most beautiful, one of the most intricate, artistic, beautiful lamps that I've ever seen in a dream. It absolutely radiated with this glory of God all around. It radiated with a glory of God all around so much it created a force field all around her family, all around completely her house. And so you could see wherever she walked, her force field was even greater than who she was. That's the lamp that's shining in her. That's significant of the Lord's glory that works through her. Okay? So I got to see all this. What I didn't know was that the enemy had been lying to her for a long time, telling her that she was fake and a foe, that she wasn't genuine and she wasn't real, and that she couldn't be used of God because she... And so in turn, she is a little shy. She had insecurities. And so when I told her about the lamp, it flickered a little bit in the dream, okay? And so when it flickers, she goes, oh, that happens sometimes. Sometimes that happens. And she goes, when that happens, I just go and I unplug it for a little bit, and then I just wait. And so in my dream, I'm going, oh, no, we never unplug from the power source, you know? And I woke myself up explaining to her how we never unplug from the power source. But what was happening was the enemy, when she unplugged from the power source through those insecurity times, when she fell prey to what those hidden spies, you know, that were trying to lie to her and deceive her, they created a disturbance. And then if she unplugged, it was almost like the force field went to a smaller light. Now, it didn't take her out, okay, but it went to a smaller light. So that's what was happening with these nightmares, okay? The enemy was coming in. They would call in the troops, and they would say, hey, the light just went dim. Rally the troops. And so that's what was happening. But how many think that the enemy has power over her now that she knows what her house really looks like, what I got insight into, really what that house looks like? How genuine, how real. Does he have power over you anymore? Do those insecurities have any power over you anymore? Do you know you're a songbird in the Lord? Do you know that you're equally matched with Chris, and that you were meant to wait so you could go through these nightmare and this discernment level of going up in a higher notch and discernment level so you could overcome in each other's lives? Did you know that? Yeah, okay, all right. So anyway, what flavor are you? You may not get dreams. You know, you may not get dreams. Maybe you are the flavor. Valerie, get up here. Maybe you are the flavor that carries the heart of God. And I'm telling you, if I've ever been jealous of a gift, you know, we're supposed to desire all the gifts. It's hers. This girl has the ability to feel the pain of other people. She can walk into a room, and I've watched it many, many, many times. She literally has the gift of empathy. Chris, you have it. Norris, you have it. Kelly, you have it. She has the gift of empathy that she can carry this. She knows when people's hurting. She literally feels it within her spirit. And so she goes and she ministers. And how many know the real ministry is on that personal level? It's really not from up here on a stage point of view. The real ministry is when you speak life into somebody's life on that personal level. And I have watched her many, many, many times. Many times speak life into people. So we'll go to a family fellowship where, you know, our family fellowships are pretty big. They're like 30 and 40 people sometimes, right? And it's always the outskirts. Who came in and who's sitting on the outskirts, she'll begin to feel their pain and she'll just begin to speak life into them. And that empathy gift is completely, completely of God. And that also is used in healing. When you begin to really full understand that what that gift really is for, to lay hands on the sick and begin to speak the things into their life that they need to hear, to begin to be the carriers of healing. And so that's what she's doing for David right now. She is the one who's proclaiming and laying hands. She is the person who can feel his pain. David, is she there every step of the way? Has she been there with you through everything? Is she the one that just speaks life into you every day? Is God speaking through her? Can't you just hear the voice of God when she prays over you? That's who she is. So you may be somebody like that. So don't dare think for a minute, you know, because you don't have these great visions, or you can't see angels, or you can't. Don't you dare go there, because your gift is powerful. Your gift encourages me to be who I am. Do you know, when I was going through a dry time in my life, she took me to a mirror and she said, "Who are you?" in front of a mirror. And she made me say the things that I needed to say, because she said, "I need you in my life." You are created to be the personal dwelling place of a personal God. And he wants to use grace in your life to speak into other people's lives. Okay, it's just gotten a little mushy here. I love you. All right. Leave it to a woman to get mushy. I want to go now. How about Isaiah 61, Lisa? Can we pull up Isaiah 61? Isaiah 61, "For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach the good news." Okay. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Keep going. We're going to go clear through this real quick. "To proclaim this is a year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Keep going. "And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair." Okay, we're going to stop right there. This is what the Lord wants me to help you to see. This is what the first thing that Jesus quoted before he began his ministry, right? Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. This is what he has done for you. He has already given you beauty. He has already given you gladness. He has already given you praise. But it's our job to exchange it for that. So what happens in essence, it's not about you changing yourself by the law anymore. It's about the exchange for what he has already done. That's really what grace is, right? It's about the exchange. It's not about the change. It's about the exchange. So we're exchanging beauty. We're exchanging our ashes. We've just been burnt to a crisp. We've been burnt down. We've been burnt out. We're changing our ashes for his beauty, and his beauty is radiating glory. We're changing our mourning of the things that happened to us. Now, all of us have sob stories in our lives. I'm telling you, all of us have a testimony. Things have happened to us because we live in a fallen world, right? So he's taking our mourning and he's given us gladness. So we're exchanging it for his joy. And he's also, for the spirit of despair and the brokenhearted, we exchange it for the garment of praise, for the garment of thankfulness. That's where you songbirds come so much in. You've got to sing into the lives of people if that's who you are. And even if you can't sing, you can sing with your poetic verses that the Lord gives you. You can sing into their spirits. So keep going. Go. Oh, no, we're there. And they will be called oaks of righteousness. Did you notice what happened right there? Jesus did this. We exchange it for this. And then what happened? It was the Spirit is Lord, it's on me. And now it's they. When you make your exchange, it turns to they. Who are the they? We are, right? We are called oaks of righteousness, a planting in the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's what this is. When you are rooted in him and you understand your purpose and you understand who you are and what he has prepared for you to become, then you become the oaks of righteousness. You become well-rooted. Okay, let's keep going. You will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places. You will renew the ruined cities. Has America fallen? Guess who the they is? You are supposed to be rising up in the glory of God. You are the atmosphere changers. You are the way makers. You are the ones that begin to call out things that are not as though they are. You are the ones that rise up and stand in the glory. Restore. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. Okay, that's good enough. Yeah, I think that's all the further I want to go. So, as a workshop, I'm going to ask the same question that Saber asked. Who are you? And I'm going to get to be close enough to dock. This woman is powerful. Oh my goodness, I just met her today. This flavor that is in this woman, she glows and radiates. When she walked into the room, which was already filled with Christians upstairs, it's like, whoa, who's this girl? Beautiful woman, professor. You know, that's why they call her Doc, because she taught so many people. And she didn't just teach them human knowledge. She taught them spiritual knowledge. And it just radiates from her. And so, who are you, Doc, right now in your life?
A mighty woman of valor.
Doc is a mighty woman of valor. Who are you, Uda?
I am his bride.
She's his bride. When she dances, you can definitely see that, can't you? Portraying the purity, the cleanness, the righteousness of God. I mean, you know, she's got this beautiful, tall frame, slender, gorgeous, even, you know, I'm not going to tell how old you are. I'm going to be nice. Okay. But she looks much younger than what she is. And she's able to do all the things that even a 20-year-old can do, really, when she dances. It's absolutely gorgeous. And yes, you do portray the bride of Christ. Who are you, Mama?
I'm love.
And that's the truth. I'm here to attest to that. She has spoken love into my life all my life. My heritage is great. My heritage is wonderful because I had parents that loved the Lord and spoke into me. Even in the darkest times when I went through horrible scenarios, I knew they were always going to be there to have the love of God reaching out with their hands. I'm still carrying the flavor because all of us have different flavors, okay? Who are you, Sabra?
I'm a daisy thrower.
Okay, explain that a little further.
When people build walls,
I'm one of those people who goes and starts throwing daisies over and let them know there's somebody on the other side that loves them.
Amen. Just like Nancy's, those of you didn't hear, but it's like her story that she tells with the lion and the daisy. And she is. She was in my life. I went and heard a sermon that she was preaching. Didn't really know her all that well. And I mean, I was sitting there dead and dormant in 2005 when I first moved back. I'd come out of a hard time in my life. And I wasn't very alive. I was in a rest period, what you would call put up on the shelf to dry out. And I came and I sat and she was preaching. And the Lord just said, awaken, awaken, rise, up, awaken. So she is the one that throws the daisies. The daisies come pushing up through. Norris, who are you?
Favorite son.
Ooh. You want to explain that?
I'm God's favorite son.
Thanks for your long definition. That's a man for you.
I'm adopted.
He is adopted. He's adopted son, so he's the favorite son. He is the one that carries the anointing. That pretty much sees anything that needs to be done. He is the man of helps and the favorite because he is the servant. See, in business in America, we think that the trickle-down effect works. But you know, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, it's the servant who starts on the lower level and speaks into that level and puts them into position in the place that they're supposed to be in. And then they get into position, and then the next guy gets into position. And that's why the trickle-down effect doesn't work. When you build up from the bottom and you begin to speak into the people's lives that are there, then that's everything else falls into place and in order, right? Okay. Thank you. That is what I needed. Bless your heart. She asked me ahead of time, too. Bless her heart. Do you need anything? Oh, no, I'm good. And then I'm asking her, what, three different things that I've needed. So, Kelly, who are you?
I am blessed of the Lord. I am a mighty man of valor and a protector of freedom.
That's truth. That is truth. I want you to tell them a little bit what you know about the going through the Gulf and who you are, relating that to the Spirit.
Well, even back before that, as long as I can remember, I've always been one who stood up against bullies, even in school. And in 4-H, I was sergeant at arms. And in the natural, I was in the Army and as a tank commander in Desert Storm, protecting freedom. In the spirit, though, God, that is my main call. My main duty is to protect freedom for whom the Son is set free.
Right.
It's free indeed. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so I don't just defend it, I protect it aggressively in your life, in everyone's life, that you are free in Christ. You're free to be all that he's called you to be. Amen?
Amen. That's good. I think I'm going to let that just rest on you guys for a minute. Go ahead and take it. Be bold. Be brave. Tell them your name first.
I'm Dawn.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm a lot of things, but what's coming to mind is surrounded with favor as with a shield, kind of being protected and safe.
Okay. So you are in that position, and you help people position themselves in that protective safe. So you actually are one who carries an wisdom, then, wouldn't you say? Yeah? Okay. You carry wisdom. You know where to stay in your own life. You guide people into that position. So that's great, Dawn. That's an awesome position. Who are you, Angie?
I'm a daughter of the Lord. I'm a daughter of God. And I have a belief that I am also a warrior in a way, just defending what is right in the eyes of God.
That is an intercessor. I'm going to hand this to you, and I'll get to you in a second, Eric. That is an intercessor's heart, Angie. That is who the warrior really is, the defender. And you are that person. You do defend what is right, what is pure, what is just. Okay?
You take up for people who can't take up for themselves. That is who you are. It's an awesome position to be in. Thank you for sharing that.
There are too many people that just are neglected, hurt, abandoned.
Mm-hmm. Who are you, Eric?
This is kind of funny because I was never like conflict, and but yet years ago when I had Nancy, I think it was back in 2012, she told me that she seen the anointing of Peter on me, a strong one, and she said that I was a man of boldness.
Yeah.
Just like Peter, after he denied Christ three times, he became a man of boldness, and she's seen that ground.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great. That's what prophetic does. It comes in seed form. You may have just been a sprout at that time, but she saw you in completion and perfecting, and now you are that. And even your stature in the physical, you know, is that you are bold. You do stand out. You can't hide in a crowd. There's no way you're going to be hiding in a crowd. John, tell us who you are.
My name's John Cook, and I'm an ambassador of God's love through Jesus Christ our Lord, reconciling people back to God.
Amen. And I would say so. That is absolutely apparent in your life. Love just radiates all around you. Matter of fact, when I first started coming to the Point of Hopes, John was always like, you know, Val, he would be in the offskirts, and he would be ministering people on the behind the scenes and off in the sections, and he always portrayed that love. Who are you, Lisa?
I put down daughter of the King. He supplies my every need, and I can climb in his lap anytime.
Amen. Oh, I tell you what, that's powerful. If you ever hear your daddy's girl, does it not shake you up? Don't you get a dance on the toes of the Father? Just like you're right there in that personal place, and he just hugs you so tight. And you know who you are because you are Daddy's girl. You will always be Daddy's girl. Always be Daddy's girl. Getting insight into other people's lives. He's going to tell you secret things that he can't tell other intercessors because he knows you're daddy's girl and he knows you're going to take it to prayer. And then if you have a part to play in it, you will fulfill your part to play in it. That's who daddy's girl is. Okay. All right. Tell us who you are.
Okay. No, I don't hear very well. So I haven't heard everything you've
okay.
said.
Okay. Who are
my hearing?
It's all right. Who are you as a woman of God?
Who am I?
Who are you?
Well, I'm a human being that loves all human beings because all human beings have the heart and the capacity to do good where there's wrong.
With God's help.
With God's help.
Right. When we exchange for what the Lord has for us, we all have great potential. And that's the neat thing about God. He sees our full potential. And what she's saying is she's a carrier of love also. And I would say that as well. You know, you transform and the generations, especially down. Isn't it fun to have grandchildren?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And be an example.
Example of righteousness. Okay. And love. Love speaks louder than anything. Who are you, Chris?
I am a child of God, and I have daddy's heart. And the tenderness and the love of God.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. How does God use that?
You know, just like Val, I can feel what people feel. God will just, I could be anywhere and just look at somebody and just know.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going through.
Like a word of knowledge, and it comes more in a feeling for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, which has been hard, because for a long time, we were told to, your emotions are bad.
But the difference is, this isn't a fleshly human emotion. This
sure.
is the compassion of God.
But he uses that so I can go and and just love on people, you know, just love on them and meet them where they're at and just minister to them that way, just to meet them right there, regardless of what they're doing or where we are or, you know, whatever, just meeting them where they're at and just loving on them any way that I can.
Amen. It's true. That's true. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing that, who we are. And we can grow into more, too, right? Yeah. Who are you?
I am a joint heir with Christ, and I'm Daddy's songbird.
Oh, now see, there's the songbird. There's the songbird, and that's true. The songbirds are very, like I was saying, very powerful because you can break. You can, you know that saying that says, calm the raging beast? It's the music. It comes from that scripture I just read, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When somebody comes down on you and they're all, you know, guess what can break through that? Singing can break through all that ugliness and that heaviness and that other stuff. Praising the Lord can break through that. So the songbird is very, very essential. David, who are you?
I am an overcomer and a difference maker.
You want to expound a little bit on that?
Well, even before I was gave all my life to Christ, I had a way with people to make them do what I wanted them to do, I guess. Val used to get on to me for it. But
it's called charisma, leadership.
I have influence on people. But
what he's saying is that was a God-given talent. And guess what? You can use it for the bad or you can use it for the good. And this man is using it for the good now. You should see the people that come in and talk to him even on a daily basis that are turning their lives around. He can just walk into an establishment and they say, you know what? I just heard about your testimony and I changed my life around. Is that not true? It's true. Yes. So he carries great charisma, great power in the Lord. We already know who you are, but I want it out of your own voice.
I am a strong warrior.
Amen. An intercessor. An intercessor's intercessor, as Nancy would say. Very strong. Very powerful in the word. Very powerful in proclamation. And very powerful when she writes in her journal and the decrees as well. Michael, who are you? You get that mic to your mouth.
I'm a winner.
Okay. Michael's a winner. He is an overcomer. He has overcome many things in his life. He's overcome hurts that's been given his way through family and hardships and trials time and time again. And you know what? He just radiates with love. He's always the first person to come in and give you a hug. He is an overcomer on everything that he puts his mind to do. Daddy helps him to overcome every scenario and every situation because you know what? He just believes it and then he does his part. So he is an overcomer.
Exactly what I wanted to say.
I knew you did. I'm just helping you. I'm helping you, brother.
Well, this past year I've learned that I'm his little girl. Yeah. I'm his daughter. I'm his princess. And my picture hangs in his hallway. And when he sees it, he smiles at me and for me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Who are you?
I am his diamond.
Oh, I like that. Is she not a diamond? Did anybody see her praising the Lord last night with her flags? I had to go to her specifically and say, I was so encouraged by that. Thank you for stepping out. Even being young, she grabbed those flags. She went right up on that stage. She knew what her position was because she is a diamond. She shines. She's meant to shine. Her smile shines. Her beauty shines. Her spirit shines. You are precious. Thank you for coming.
I am God's girl, God's daughter. One of the things I love the most about the Lord, and I want to let it shine through me and flow through me, is his loving kindness.
Loving kindness. Awesome. Awesome. I'm not going to leave you out either. So I'm not going to leave you out. Who are you, Lisa?
I am a servant and watchman on the wall.
Yes. True warrior. Yes. Fully armored. Full gear. If there really ever was a princess warrior, that woman is the full portrayal of a princess warrior. I'm going to paint a princess warrior one day. I think I'm going to use your face. Okay. I don't know when. It might come about. Okay. I don't know if I need this. Do I need to turn this off? Okay. Oh, did I miss somebody? Becky, did you sneak in on me? Okay. Well, do you want to tell us who you are in the Lord?
God's kid. instrument of the kingdom.
And how?
I just want to be of service to him in whatever way I can, wherever the need is.
You know what? That's probably the best answer yet. Put me in, coach. Yeah. Right? Put me in anywhere. I'm willing. Who will go? Who will go? That's the willing vessel. Okay. When I was in Ketchikan, it was during a time of Yom Kippur, right before Rosh Hashanah. I don't sleep when we go to Ketchikan because it's normally during that time frame, and so I have an awesome time with God not sleeping, where I usually am, you know, he speaks to me through dreams and things. It's really a time period of awakeness for me, and he just kind of just downloads into my spirit, you know, things, personal things, family things, business things, you know, and sometimes into other people's lives. And in this scenario, I felt like he was telling me, you know, I don't get things like Nancy does. Don't think I'm going on a level, you know, that I'm not. But what I felt like was that the Lord was telling us that we have been in a 1,000-year reign of grace with the number 5775, which was the year we just came out of, is a 1,000-year of 5, which 5 means grace, 7 means completion and perfection, okay? So 7's in this era, of this time frame, the 100 years, is him perfecting you. He's completing himself in the church, okay? So we're in a millennium of him revealing revelation of grace. We're in a 100-fold years of him completing and perfecting the church. I mean, guys, you don't realize this, but there wasn't even preachers a few hundred years ago. They were just opened up a thing and they read out of the word. I mean, it was really weird. And when we went through a Catholic period that you weren't even allowed to preach at all, only the priests could preach. You know, I mean, you really need to study your history. This has really been overcoming in this time frame of this 100 years. Amazing, amazing, him perfecting the church into the fivefold ministry. Okay, so we're going to see more revelation on that. And the 7, it's double. We're in a decade of it, so it's happening also in a personal level. And this new season with 5776, it is meaning 6, meaning man. 6 isn't a bad number. Everybody always thinks, you know, of 666, but 6 just basically means man. And so what that means in your life, what I feel like the Lord is telling me what it means in your life, is that this new season, he is going to be giving you, again, revelation of his grace personally, because really we should be getting more revelation of his grace every day of our lives. He's going to be perfecting himself within you, and even double fold perfecting to where you have an understanding on a personal level. So that 6 means it's happening on a personal level, which means if you put it together, that you, the things that used to trip you up before are not going to be able to trip you up again. Because that revelation is coming into you completely personally. The heavens have been opened up, so you're getting revelation to overcome on a complete personal level. Also, what I felt like the Lord did was the scripture where it talks about the Lord's first miracle. What was the Lord's first miracle? Water into wine. Have you ever stopped to think how many vessels was in that first miracle? What was the number? 6. 6 was the number of vessels that was in that first miracle. six pots. And the Lord began to show me what those pots really were. We think of this little cute little pitcher of water, you know. You know, they come and, you know, he changed water into wine and we're going to pour out of these little pitchers. Do you know what these pots were? They were these huge vats that were carved out of the hardest places of the earth. Basically, they just went and they got a stone and they rolled it in and then they carved it out. And they had that sitting in large congregational areas. And so that's what they would wash in. They would fill that with water and wash in it before they went into festivities. That was their tradition. That's what they did. They carved out of the hardest places of the earth and brought those huge, humongous vats in. Six of them. So they were already there in place. I find it interesting that the human body is almost 70% comprised of water, right? Right? So those vessels, I felt like the Lord was telling me, was us. That vessel, those huge pots that he carved out and brought in, was portraying us. And the first miracle is us, how he transformed the water into wine. The wine represents what in Scripture? The Spirit of God. The wine represents Spirit of God. So really the first miracle was the transformation. You are the first miracle that we just spoke about in Isaiah 61. You are the miracle of transformation, of being transformed. In this new season, you are the miracle that's being transformed into wine. To be that flavor, when the richest of the rich comes and says, this is the, why, who saves the best for last? God does. He saves you, a hidden person. From even the beginning of time, he knew who you were. He's saving you with flavor and transforming you because you've positioned yourself in him. And you know now that you're overcoming the things that has always tripped you up before. He's increasing your gifting levels. And I'm going to repeat it again. Our verse, therefore having gifts differing, minister according to the grace that he's given to us. That's how we're supposed to do it. And so when he begins to work in you on a personal level, then you begin to speak out into other people. And this is what he told me. And I got to think of the scripture. Sorry, I might have to mess with my computer here a little bit. Kelly, what's the scripture that says in 2 Corinthians somewhere, we are a new creation? Anybody? What is that scripture? Thank you. 5:17. It escaped me. I needed you, John. So quote that scripture to me. Quote that scripture to me. Oh. We are a new creation.
New creation, Christ. All things passed away. The new man has come to life.
We are a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. In this new season, you are becoming new. Okay, that is the six. But this is what he wants to tell you. In this process of this season, he's preparing you to go into great ministry in the next season. When we go into 5:7:7, you're going to be speaking into other people's lives and perfecting them as well. And so this year, I want you to begin practicing. Practice on yourself, speaking life into yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Okay, now I want you to see this. We're all used to this scripture. Can you go forward just one scripture, Lisa? Go back to 16. This is what the Lord highlighted in my life. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Now, just concentrate on that top portion because we know that Christ wasn't in the flesh. But really what he's saying is, recognize nobody is in the flesh. Do you know what he said to me when I was in Ketchikan? Speak to the spirit of the person. Don't speak to their flesh. Turn to your neighbor and poke them and say, God's not concerned about your fleshy parts. Okay. He's concerned about your identity in him, who he has purposed you to be. And when you begin to speak to yourself like you're not in the flesh, you're automatically standing in love. You're automatically standing in joy. You're automatically standing in the fruit of the Spirit. It has to start with you first, and God knew that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as who? Yourself. So it has to start with you first. Speak life into yourself. Allow that personal time for Daddy to begin to download really who you are, even to expound on that. And then begin to speak life into other people too. Regard no man, and I'm talking about the guy at work that just irks you and you can't stand him. I mean, they just made you mad. You don't speak to their flesh. You don't speak to that flesh. You speak to that life. You ask the Lord and you exchange. Yes, for the righteousness of God, Doc just said. Exchange for that spirit talk. You exchange for that spirit talk. Don't you fall prey to serpent talk. We don't fall prey to serpent talk anymore, do we, Audrey? We don't. We don't fall prey to what stumbled us up in the past, in this season. And then we begin to speak life into our loved ones as well. And even those that irk you the most. So that's what I really feel like was my puzzle piece to tell you today. Concentrate on this verse. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Because God is the Father of all. He is in all. Over all and in all, right? Amen. So we have had him from the beginning. Everybody thinks that the part of God that's in you only happens when you accept Jesus in your heart. No, he just exaggerates it then. You had a part of God before. And just like David was saying, the gifts were even already in him. Have you even thought to think about that? Already instilled within you in that secret place when he knit you together in your mother's womb and knew who you were to be. That's right. Okay. So, well rooted, well grounded in the word, growing into the fullness of him. Here's your flavors, you know. Okay, seven. The seven, meaning the promises of God. We're moving into a season that you're to stand on the promises of God. Just like the rainbow. I got to tell you this. When we were fishing, all the boys caught the big fish. I only caught the little tiny fish. I didn't get to have any keepers. So I'm out on the deck. And I'm on the back of the boat, and I'm just saying, Daddy, what's the gig? You know, when you say that. And so he's telling me at that time frame that I had said something, and he was dealing with me personal about, but in the process of him dealing with me to watch my tongue and guard my tongue, there came this awesome... It was a sunshiny day, but in Ketchikan, as everybody knows, it can rain anytime at once, right, Debbie? It rains anytime at once, and so we had this beautiful sunshiny day all day when we were fishing pretty much, and then this little storm cloud came, rolled in, and it just, you know, started raining. So it's raining, and then it cleared up again, and then sunshine again. So I'm standing out on the back of the fishing thing, smelling completely like fish. You're smelling good that day. You missed it, honey. My perfume was awesome. But anyway, we're standing out there on that thing, and the Lord rose up a rainbow of promise. See, rainbow has seven colors. Are you aware of that? Rainbow has seven colors, which is he's perfecting in us the promises that he gives. It is the promise of God, but it is the perfection of him that you're moving into. And so the rainbow rose up, and it rose up right at my feet. I have never seen an end of a rainbow before. I've never seen an end of a rainbow. I've seen the bows, you know, and I've seen it shining off over the hill. And in West Virginia, you can't see very far because you've got hills everywhere and trees everywhere. But, you know, I've never seen just the, but we were out on the water and we were out, you know, in the open waters. And that rainbow hit right there, right at my feet. And it was just like, oh, the Lord was telling me that his promises are true, to stand on them, that now I have the revelational knowledge that they are for me specifically. There, he's going to give me peace through everything that I'm walking through, that he's going to directly take me. And it was just like the Lord was breathing on me and showing me how much he loved me personally. I had already stepped into 5776. That was his personal promise coming to me. I've never seen the end of a rainbow. Okay, then it moved to the fishing pole, and I thought, oh, whoever touches that fishing pole next is going to catch something big. You know? It didn't happen, but anyway. So we were wrapping up fishing, and David comes out, and he's checking on me because I'm a true diehard. I wasn't giving up. I was standing out there to the bitter end wanting to catch my big salmon. And he comes out. Guess what happened? When David came out, a double rainbow happened. Did it not? Another rainbow appeared, and it was just like Daddy saying, I love you. I love you. My promises are true. My promises are real. My promise is to you personally. And so everything that God is saying to you personally, you can bank on it.